Well, if you don't know, our beloved pastors are in Florida, not just to enjoy Florida weather, because as you can see in Ohio, we have great weather today, but they're visiting some precious family members of ours, Joey and Jenna and Haley Wheeler. And so I guess when the pastors are gone, then the pastor's son-in-law gets to preach, I guess. So let's just pray and hope you guys are ready for a fun ride this morning. Father, we just thank you so much for this awesome opportunity to hear from you. Father, I just thank you so much for the worship that went forth this morning, God, the praise that went forth, honoring your name, lifting up your name, God, just glorifying you, just declaring out what your heart is, declaring out what you want to do, declaring out who you are in our lives and who you can be in other people's lives. And we just thank you so much, God, for the opportunity just to hear from you again today. Lord, I pray our hearts would be good ground. I pray it would be fresh. Lord, whether it's an old word or a new word or whatever we think we've heard before, what other scriptures we think we know, that we would receive it fresh from your Spirit. That just like you gave manna to the Israelites, every day they had to go out and get it. They weren't allowed to gather more for following days except for the Sabbath because you wanted it to be fresh. And so, Lord, I pray it would be fresh this morning by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I thank you. Wow, caramel macchiato. Whoa. I didn't know we made those here. Well, I just wanted to recognize a very special person in our midst. There's actually a lot of special people in our midst. There's a couple that I just wanted to recognize. So if I don't recognize you, it's not because you're special. You're very special. But we have Paul Pierluzzi in the house. For those of you that don't know Paul, a.k.a. Double P, double J, double R, we've got lots of double L's, you know, it's just a weird thing in this house. Paul, we've known since high school days, and if you don't know, Paul graduated in 1999, and so we've known Paul from before that. Paul and his family moved out of state, and he is gracious to honor us with his presence as often as he can get back here, so it's good to see you, my man. And we also have Cameron back. Now, he's back mainly because he's getting married, but there may be some other reasons too. Cameron is coming back from minor league baseball with the LA Dodgers, but, you know, nobody famous, just another friend. So when Peter was able to welcome Tom and Becky here today, who are a pleasure to have. They joined us for Rick Pino when Rick Pino was in the house, so they're coming back to visit today. They've made a long trek to get here from Norfolk, Norwalk. Okay, at least they're not out of state. And so, welcome. And for all of you faithful comers, we welcome you again. This has nothing to do with my message, but as you know, I'm involved in the School of Worship, and so I always have to do something with worship. So we will be coming out with a new CD next month, and this is all of the ones we have left from the old CDs, and I can't guarantee that they'll ever be produced again. So 50 years from now, they might be a collector's item worth millions. You never know. So we have a couple that somehow mysteriously got their shrink wrap taken off and are still in the box. So I'm going to offer you a deal. These are $5. And the ones that have shrink wrap, they're their original price of $10. That's a suggested donation, as I guess you're supposed to say by IRS laws. So for a suggested donation of $5 or $10, we will gift you a CD, and then you can still write it off on your taxes. I wouldn't recommend doing that, though. So you can just put the offering in the offering and just label it Relentless Pursuit CD or CD or something like that, and then come and get them. Or you can find me or someone afterwards. So they have 6 awesome songs on them by our worship leaders here, some original, some covers, so that's my plug for those. All right, so what are we going to talk about? Something about Jesus. Well, we've heard a lot from the front lately about counting the cost, paying the price for promotion, being the sacrifice, persevering, and so I thought I'd share a little bit about something that relates to all of that, that the Lord started to show me back in April when I was at a conference in Bethel. The conference in Bethel was for medical related, and I had the opportunity to go there, but when I attended their church service in the morning, they have a class called Fire Starters. And it's basically their class to kind of get you into ministry and the power of God, the fire of God, the gifts of the Spirit, and just kind of immerse you in that culture. And it's the recommended kind of place to start besides their new people class. And so I figured, why not crash the party while I'm here and see what they're doing. So since I wasn't signed up for the class, I got to sit at a guest table and just observe, but I had the booklet, and I was reading things and watching things and got a chance to share some things as well. But during a time, I had my eyes closed, and I saw this picture, and I had honestly no idea what this picture was. And I'm going to have Carly, can you bring up the first picture? Just the one of the locomotive. So I had this picture of this kind of old-time locomotive. This is just a schematic, so it's not what I saw. But on this locomotive, there were 2 parts of it that were highlighted, and I know nothing about trains. For those of you that don't know me, I work in the emergency room, so I can help you with heart attacks, but I don't know that I know much about trains or putting things together or fixing things. So there were these 2 things that were highlighted, no idea what they were, but it was a very clear picture, and I said, all right, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? So I started searching the internet as we, all do. Our first reference source is Google, and I started bringing up some pictures and reading some things, and it sort of became apparent that what's labeled up there, I think, is number 7 with an underline. And then this part kind of by the front side of the front wheels, which isn't on this particular diagram. And that was the part that was highlighted. And I said, what in the world? So Google went to Wikipedia, and then I read this on Wikipedia. In railroading, the pilot, also known as a cow catcher or cattle catcher, is the device mounted at the front of a locomotive to deflect obstacles on the track that might otherwise derail the train. In addition to the pilot, small metal bars called lifeguards, rail guards, or guard irons are provided immediately in front of the wheels. They knock away smaller obstacles lying directly on the running surface of the railhead. Historically, fenced-off railway systems in Europe relied exclusively on these devices and forewent the use of pilots, but this design is rarely used in modern systems. So I started to get a little idea that the Lord was saying something. The pilot is the device mounted at the front of a locomotive to deflect obstacles on the track that otherwise might derail the train. Okay, Lord, I can see some analogies coming here. I don't want to be derailed in my Christian life, right? I want to stay on the track, the straight and narrow, that God has laid out for me. And there are certainly obstacles. If you have not experienced an obstacle in your Christian life, please come pray for me, and then I'll pray for you, because one certainly is coming. Because Jesus even said that in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart because I have overcome the world. He didn't say in this world you will not have tribulation, so get real happy. He said you will, but take heart because I've overcome the world. And so we'll have some pictures of this pilot or this cow catcher that Carly can bring up a few pictures. So it's that big red part on the front. There's kind of some size comparison to the people beside it. And I do not think I'd want to be on the track with that coming towards me, whether I was a cow or a human or whatnot. Now, this one, it's hard to see, but it's the best picture I could find. There's a little rail guard down at the bottom in front of the wheel above the rail. So as you can imagine, you know, the cow catcher, the pilot, if it hits a cattle or an obstacle, what it doesn't want to happen is for it to get trapped underneath and then the wheels hit it and get knocked off and derail. What it wants to do is lift it up, and then it wants to shove it outward so it doesn't hit the front of the window and kill the conductor or the engineer or whatever they're called. And so that's why it's shaped like this. In places where there's snow, it also acts as a snow plow as well. But that catches the big stuff. It hits it up and out. So it knocks it off the track, not into the train, not under the train. But that's for the big obstacles. What about the small obstacles, like, you know, a big stone that kind of got stuck there or, you know, whatnot? Well, that's where the rail guard or the rail iron comes in. And before it can get underneath that wheel, it just knocks it right off. Well, what could God speak to us about that, the design here? And well, God was speaking to me that in the Christian life, he has built in, by design, the ability to, for those obstacles against us, to be taken care of. He's not a God that's mean. He's not a God that is sadistic, meaning he likes to see us suffer. He's a good father, a good God. How many who are parents, how much time and energy do you spend thinking about how can I set up my sons and daughters for success? I know they're going to encounter stuff. When they leave my house, I can't, you know, control everything that they come across. When they go to school, when they see this movie, when they do that, and we think, how can we set them up for success so that they love Jesus with all their heart, but they're not going to stumble, they're not going to get hurt? Well, if we being evil, the Bible says, know how to give good gifts, how much more will our Heavenly Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask, or the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Well, so if I'm like that as a father, as limited of a father as I am, how much more would God in his grace set up our Christian life like that? He knows we're going to experience obstacles, but we've got a cow catcher on the front of our locomotive. We've got rail irons so that nothing can knock us off track. Nothing has to. Do things? Yes. Is the secondary message to this that even when that happens, his grace is sufficient? Yes, absolutely. But today I want to focus on the fact that God, by design, sets it up so that we don't have to get derailed. We don't have to get knocked off the train track, no matter what the obstacle is. Whether it's a big cow, you know, the golden calf, that's a big deal. You melt all your jewelry. Moses is up on the mountain receiving revelation from God, and you're making a golden calf to worship and dance around and perform things that you shouldn't be doing. I mean, if that's the obstacle, that's a big deal. Ain't nothing. It ain't nothing. Boom. Right through it. Or if it's something small. And to be honest, a lot of times it doesn't seem like the small things can trip us up either easier than the big things. Yeah, those things that slip under the cow catcher and they just kind of ride the wheel for a long period of time just to nag us long enough until one wheel gets off the track. Oop, another wheel gets off the track. Before we know it, We think we're moving really fast, but we're not going anywhere because we're not on the track. So let's have a fun video to see why we need these things. So Carly, if you could play the cow one, and believe me, I could have chose many other videos that viewer discretion would have been advised. All right, that's good. So this is why we need a cow catcher. You see that one? It doesn't. They don't have them as much in modern rails as they did in old steam engines. But that's why we need them. There's sometimes whole cattle just sitting on your railroad track, and it takes quite a while for the train to stop. So that one was a close call. So that's why we need them. All right. So you all got a handout. And let's open our Bibles, or you can just look at your handout, to our theme verse for the morning. So Jude. Now you know when it says Jude and there's a big number after it, it's the verse, not the chapter, because Jude only has one chapter. So if you're looking in your Bible for Jude chapter 24, you're going to be looking for a while. And if you can't find Jude, it's because it's only a couple pages. It's right before Revelation. So Jude, verse 24 and 25 says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." That's powerful. To him who is able to keep me from stumbling. How many of us stumble? Come on. Seriously. How many of us stumble? We all do. He is able to keep us from stumbling. He is able to keep us from being derailed. He set up for us a way in which we can go from here to finish line without ever stumbling and getting derailed. Now, to understand that, you've got to look at it from God's standpoint of view. Does being derailed mean that we don't make mistakes? Well, no. Because we all have failed on that one. Does being derailed meaning we never have doubt? No. Does stumbling mean we are completely perfect? No, no. This is looking from God's eyes through Jesus. But also it's receiving his grace that he's laid out for us and not working at it through human effort. I'm going to do this. I can do this Christian thing. I can do my quiet times and devotions, and I can worship, and I can pray, and I can do this thing, and I can fast, and I can go after Jesus, and I cannot feel angry. I really cannot feel angry. I won't feel angry. I can do it. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to get offended. I'm not going to judge you. I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. How many times have you failed in your own strength to do what is in your heart to do? You know, Paul expressed this. The things that I wish to do, I don't do. But it's the things that I don't want to do that I do do. Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Romans 7. But thank God through Jesus Christ that he did, right? And then talks about focusing on the Spirit and not on the deeds of the flesh. But walking after Jesus and not stumbling is not being perfect. That's not the case. It's looking at it through Jesus' eyes. So why is this whole thing of importance? You know, when we, back in the early days of ministry here, when I was a teenager, and I may still look like a teenager to some of you, but every day my patients in the hospital ask when the supervising doctor is going to come in. And then I just tease them that the supervising doctor will be in very shortly, and I send my resident in and say, they had a question for you I couldn't answer. And then when they're unhappy with their service, I'll be like, the supervising doctor will be in real shortly. Now, the two things that I get are, why are your hands so cold, and how old are you? So the first one I can't answer very well, the second one I can. I just tell them that I bought my diploma online and it went a lot faster than all those years of school. And then if that one they don't like, then I tell them I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. But back when I was a teenager in ministry here, there is someone that you guys well know, kind of not here today, kind of goes to this church, preaches from the front. He has said in a lot of the Bible studies, you know, anyone can say they're going to follow Jesus here tonight. Anyone can claim X, Y, and Z, but where are you going to be in 5 years? Where are you going to be in 10 years? I want to see you decades down the line still serving Jesus and more on fire than Jesus for Jesus than I want to see you make all these big claims. Because who made claims in the Bible? There's Peter, right? I'll never deny you, Jesus. And then he said, well, actually, you will 3 times before the cock crows. I'll go and I'll die with you. You know, you've heard Pastor Bill say before many times. So we can all make big claims. I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll go for it. But in fact, that question challenged me as a young person. Where am I going to be in 10 years? By the grace of God, over 15 years later, almost 20 years later, here I am. But it's only by God's grace. It's not because I said, and when I was 15, I'm going to be so loyal and so good and never make any mistakes and just try hard every day. That's how I'm going to make it. No, by the grace of God, I'm here. I could have been knocked out by 15 million of these obstacles. But the Lord desires to look at our life over a long chunk of time. And he wants us to have some revelation of what he's doing in us. We don't have to understand it all, don't get me wrong. But if we're completely clueless on the plan of God for our life, then we might actually walk around the desert for 40 years when it should have only taken a couple weeks. We may be on fire for Jesus and full of zeal and love him with all of our hearts, but we're clueless on what he's doing in our life. We're clueless on the, play on words, the track record he wants to build in our lives. God wants us to have some level of understanding of that, because it's when you don't have knowledge that the people perish. It's the lack of knowledge. Not knowledge like my head can figure all this out and I'm a smart brainiac. Not that kind of knowledge. But an experiential track record that I've built with Jesus, that type of knowledge. If you have that and you understand that, then these obstacles don't have to knock you out of the way, because you can see what God's doing and you can see what the enemy is doing. You can see in the spirit, I'm about to hit a large animal. I'm going to rely on the grace of God to deflect that obstacle, or if there's ways, now on a train you can't really just go around it, you know, I'm going to rely on the grace of God to be able to plow through those obstacles. So I realized in a couple circumstances in my life where the enemy was really, really trying to knock out that track record that was built in the Lord. If you look at it from a couple illustrations. So we're using the train illustration today. So if you look where the train track has been, where you are on the track right now, and where you're going in the future, those are all connected in a very smooth fashion, right? It's not like all of a sudden you're on this track and the train just levitates and comes over and goes to another track and then is now going a completely different direction. Can God take people in different directions? Absolutely. But in God's economy, even though it may seem crazy to us, it's still a spiritually calculated maneuver. He is, you know, shifting the, whatever those things are called, where, you know, someone knows trains, help me out. You know, where you move the one to the other track and then the train goes down that direction. A switch, a duck, goose, I don't know. So I didn't study that much for this message. So it's a calculated switch, right? He sees the future, the past, and the present as if it's all one, because God is not sitting in our temporal time box. He actually made time. Time is a created thing. He sits outside of it because he is omniscient, all-powerful, big, huge, awesome, always was there, always will be. So he's sitting outside of that. He sees that, and he can see for certain reasons that, okay, it's time to make a shift. Now, to us, it feels like a shift. To God, it was plan A. And he just shifts that switcher. And we, whoop, head in that direction. But in general, God's not just saying, okay, I'm going to randomly have you go here, go there, do that. There's nothing connected. It's all over. It's crazy. Just do whatever you want. Not because that in and of itself is wrong, but he wants to build that track record with you. He doesn't want us to be tumbling weed, as Pastor Bill says, to where, you know, the wind blows one way and it rolls that way, and the wind blows the next way and it rolls that way. Moving with the Spirit is like that because we're following the Spirit, but our relationship and connection with God is not like that. Our relationship and connection with people is actually not like that either. You can't be in a covenant and just roll wherever the wind blows. You know, today I really like my wife, tomorrow I don't. Today I want to go to work and provide for the family's needs, the next day I really don't feel like it. I have a job today, I don't have a job tomorrow. Hire me, please, I'll show up for one day and then the next day you never know, because I'm just like, I'm flowing with the Spirit. See if your employer likes that. When you try to get hired for the next job, they'll be like, so tell me, what is this flowing with the Spirit that you like? It means I can do whatever I want when I want, man. That's a little different than flowing in the Spirit, because God actually understands what covenant's like. He loves people, and loving people is an investment in time, in energy, and track record. So I won't get off on too much of a tangent. But point being is that there's a flow to it. Now, the flow may be, hey, we're heading this direction. Oh, wait, guys, now we're heading this direction because there's a mountain we need to go around. Oh, there's a tunnel that I've built for you. Oh, we're going to go here. But there's a flow to it. And so what the enemy likes to do is he likes to rob that flow. Think of if you have miles of track that you've went on with Jesus, miles and miles and miles. And you can look back and be like, man, how faithful has God been to me? I went from here to there. Look how, I just look backward and see those hundreds of miles of track. Look how faithful he's been to me. I've never been derailed. My train never blew up. I always had enough fuel. I always had enough companionship of people on the way with me. He's always provided for me. You've got that testimony. What does that do for you? It makes you stay on the train. It makes you stay on the track. You don't jump ship because you've got that testimony laid down. How does that apply in our personal life? Oh man, I can remember when I gave my life to Jesus. I was going downhill fast, and he rescued me. He rescued me from X, Y, Z. I remember when I had to switch schools, and I went from a school of 40 people in my class to 400 in my class. And it could have been really crazy and intimidating, but God spoke to me that I should be there. And he made ways. I remember when I was going on a mission trip, and my professor said, no, you have to take this summer class. God told me, yes, you can do both. My professor told me, no. God told me, yes, no, yes, no, yes. Well, His no became a yes because God said yes. I remember when this happened, that, and you build up that testimony. Well, what if the devil somehow gets in there? He gets in your track that you're heading down to derail you, and he can convince you that all that stuff back there was a lie. All that stuff back there was your own effort, or you were pleasing somebody else, or you just were naive and young and whatnot. Whatever the lie may be, if he can get you to that testimony that you've built, if he can wipe that away, man, chances are one of two things are going to happen. You're either going to lose a lot of the fire that has been built in your life, a lot of the testimony, and you're just going to kind of go humdrum through the rest of the track. Whatever, just carry me along. I hope I make it home, dear Jesus. Swing low, sweet chariot. That'll be your favorite worship song. You won't be up here. I hear a new sound is coming. Swing low, come on to carry me home. Or you're going to completely go down a different track that's on a different path than God has for you, and you're going to think you're heading in the right way. That's called deception. Because this has been stolen. So I remember a time in my life where this was trying to happen. And it was about 10 years ago. And there was a lot of things kind of coming at me at the time and coming at a lot of people in my circle of friends and family. And there was a person, multiple people, several people, but there's a person in my life that knew nothing about me personally. They knew the situation and they said, you know, the enemy is trying to destroy the foundation. He's trying to destroy the testimony. Don't let him do that in your life. So I started looking back and I said, that's exactly what's happening. If I make the conclusions that certain people are saying I should make in this situation, that negates everything that happened back there. And if I negate everything that happened back there, then it's going to change the course presently and where I'm headed. If I didn't heed that wisdom and that advice, I may not be here today. And crazily enough, I might not be married to my wife. I might not be walking with the Lord in the way that I was, because they were basically inviting me at the time to say all of this was not God. All of this. Years of stuff was not God. So that's a problem, because then the testimony that God has built in your life will completely get taken away. So Bill Johnson puts it this way, and it's a different illustration, so we use the train tracks. This is for you sporty guys and girls and kids. I was very active in sports, especially in my teen and early adult years. Whether it's baseball, tennis, or golf, a swing has three basic components. There is the backswing, the point of contact, and the follow-through. Disciplined and skilled athletes learn to be consistent in those three things. Metaphorically speaking, the backswing is our history, while the point of contact is the moment we live in. The follow-through is the destiny / future according to promise. Our backswing is God's personal history and accomplishments for us through Christ. We inherited his history as though it were ours all along. He took what we deserved so we could receive what he deserved. The point of contact is this moment we're in, realizing that God has a unique purpose for our lives. It's not only about the future, it's also about the moment we are in that is so magnificent that only unbelief and introspection can rob me of its fullness. Let me read that sentence again. It's also about the moment we are in that is so magnificent that only unbelief and introspection can rob me of its fullness. The follow-through is a future filled with hope because the history is so solid and secure. The follow-through is the same arc as the backswing. In other words, when the backswing is right and the point of contact is right, the follow-through is predictable or inevitable. One sets up the other. He has gone ahead of us, fully securing the future for us. Faithfulness keeps us in sync with his perfect plan. Let me read this one again. Faithfulness keeps us in sync with his perfect plan. Faithfulness keeps us in sync with his perfect plan. Whenever God gives us a promise, it's because he has gone into our future and brought back the word necessary to get us there. Whenever God gives us a promise, it's because he has gone into our future and brought back the word necessary to get us there. So you can ask Cameron, you can ask me about golf, maybe, I don't know, it's baseball, something. But, right, when you set up for your backswing in golf, maybe it's golf or baseball, when you set up for your backswing and you have this particular swing plane, and you're going to now go down with your downswing, that same plane is there. If you make changes to that swing plane, I'm here and now here's my swing plane. The follow-through that comes is from the swing plane. In baseball, you set your weight back and you're cocked and ready to go. You set yourself up to go forward with this swing plane, and the follow-through just happens by centrifugal force, right? You don't throw your arms out. You turn your core so that your arms can but follow. So in our Christian life, where we've been in our testimony in the Lord sets us up for where we're at right now for that point of contact. Bam! And then the follow-through is inevitable. It has to happen. So you can look at this from a lot of different ways. From the standpoint of view of you're praying for someone for healing. Well, what's the backswing? The backswing is Jesus died on the cross for that person's healing. He set it up so that you can have success and they can be healed. The Bible says, these signs will follow those that believe. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So that's the backswing. You're set up. You're ready to go. Someone comes along your way that needs healing. The pitch is thrown. It's coming right here, and now here's the contact. You're set up. You're ready to go. He's done it. You haven't done it. He's done it. But you participate in the swing, and bam, the point of impact is you praying for them in that moment. And so the healing is inevitable. Even if you don't see it at that time, it's inevitable because he set up the backswing. You've participated in the moment of contact. It has to happen. In your life, God says that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. So in my background testimony, I know what God has done. That fuels me to give him praise, thankfulness, gratitude for the day that I am living in. And as I stay in that moment on that train track, as I stay in that location, the follow-through is inevitable as long as I stay in that place. I'm not going to get derailed. Does that make sense? And so the future that we spend so much time on is inevitable as long as we're staying in that plane that God has for us. Does that make sense? So, Carly, I'm going to have you play the, I think it's called Train Crashing Through or something like that. I want you to see the power in which a locomotive is designed to stay on course. Okay? That was a testing of the school bus in the train. That was no children were harmed in the making of this film. But look at the amount of power that train just smashed through the, you know, the 18-wheeler. It didn't slow down. It didn't get knocked off. It wasn't like, oh, this is a challenge, you know, we're going to bump heads and one of us is going to win. It wasn't. That is how the Christian life is designed to be. We're on the track. God's laid it out for us. What does Ephesians 2:10 say? After 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is a gift of God, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. And then it talks about in 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. So God has laid it out. Those wheels on the track are set to go. Go, man. Go for it. You can do it. Nothing is going to stop you. I've got your cow catcher in the front. I've got your rail guards. You just go. Any obstacle, boom, you're going to plow through. So I began to look up in the Bible, derailing. And how many verses do you think I found? Zero. For thus saith the Lord, he will not allow your train to be derailed in the day of trial. And no, I didn't find anything like that. Although I did find something kind of close to it. And we're not going to go through every one of these, so I know it's Labor Day weekend. I will not make a comment about our beloved pastors in this moment in the lengths of services. But we will not go through all these, but I encourage you to look these up at home. I strongly encourage you, and that's why I have it all. But I began to look up things in the Bible that the Bible says will cause us to stumble. Because if God has already shown us in his word, hey, you don't want to do this, that will cause you to stumble. I kind of want to know that. If there's things in his word that he said, this will allow you not to stumble. If you do this, if you're like this, if you allow me to do this in you, then I want to know that too. And so that kind of helped me with derailing. Stumbling, derailing. We'll make the analogy work. So the first thing was just realizing that in Jude 24, now to him who is able to keep me from stumbling. So first of all, we could stop there and go home. And some of you are like, let's do that. We could stop and go home because it just says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Yes. Praise God, I need someone to keep me from stumbling every day of my life. So let's look at this sheet. And if you've got a Bible with you, I may call on you to read some verses. So here's a microphone. You can come up and or pass it around, or we'll figure something out. So in the Old Testament, let's look. So what are some things that in the Old Testament says that will keep me from not stumbling, will keep me on the path? Well, God's word. It's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Job 4:4. We're not going to look up all these verses. Loving God's law. So not just reading the Bible, but loving it. Walking in God's way as compared to walking in my own way. Loving and having wisdom. So let's open to Proverbs chapter 4. I just want to read a couple of verses in this. Who's got a Bible they can open to Proverbs 4 and read a couple of verses for me? We're going to keep you guys awake. Denny. So, Denny, if you could read Proverbs 4:12.
When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble.
And then, Denny, what are the verses before that say? So 10 should be good. 10 and 11.
Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths.
So when you grab a hold of wisdom, when you receive counsel from someone with godly wisdom, and then, Denny, keep going down in verse 20 through 27.
My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil.
So, not only receiving, thank you, Denny, not only receiving wisdom, and there's guarding your heart in there, which that's a whole message in and of itself, literally, somewhere on the podcast. But pondering the path of your feet, stopping and thinking, what am I doing in life right now? Where am I going? Where have I been? Where is God in all this? What does he think about all this? It's very easy just to keep moving. Keep waking up, keep going to work, keep doing the thing, keep going back to bed, feeling tired, feeling good sometimes, having fun. It's easy just to keep moving. But as we step back and say, okay, Lord, search my heart, know my inner ways. Where am I at? Where have I been? Where am I going to? And what do you think about all of this? As we do that, God shows us things, if we're open to it, that will keep us from stumbling, for keep us from heading down the wrong path. So, another thing, a contrite and a humble spirit. You kind of need those things if you're going to be receiving wisdom from other people. It's hard for someone to hear something from someone else when they don't have a contrite and humble spirit. Help us all, Lord. Following God's leading instead of following someone else's leading or my own leading or my emotions' leadings or money's leadings. Giving glory to the Lord. Having the Lord with you. You're not going to stumble when God's with you. You know, didn't Gideon and his army learn that? I'm going to win when the Lord's on my side, no matter what the odds are. Moses prayed, you know, don't send us up from here unless you go with us. He found the treasure. He knew it wasn't just carrying a lot of supplies for the tabernacle and tearing them up and down. He knew it was the presence of God. Repentance. Repentance keeps our hearts in a position to receive. It brings refreshing and it keeps us on the right path. Because if we're not willing to repent, that means I'm not willing to change my mind about this. And if you're not willing to change your mind about something, there's a strong chance that you are not headed down the right path. Unless it's defending what God has put on your heart and a conviction of God in your heart. But you're not willing to change your mind on a certain topic. No, by George, this is what it is and this is how it is. Don't you tell me differently. If that's the case, then, I mean, think you could be heading down a wrong track and God and somebody else is trying to tell you, no, this is the way you need to go, and you're not willing to change. You're not willing to repent and turn around. Knowledge. Let's look at this verse. Someone turn to Hosea 4 for me. It's before Joel and Amos and Obadiah. Can someone please name one of their children Obadiah in this place? I would love to come to church in the morning and be like, "What up, Obadiah?" Hosea 4, and if someone can read 4 through 1 through 6.
Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. For the Lord has a case against you, the inhabitants of the land. Because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence, so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore, the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. Yet let no one find fault, and let none offer reproof, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. So you will stumble by day, and the prophet will also stumble with you by night, as I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children.
So pretty heavy words there. But what caused Israel to stumble in those times? Well, they rejected the law of the Lord. They rejected the knowledge of God. They did not have knowledge. They lacked truth. They lacked mercy. They were choosing to sin. They were choosing to forget God's laws. They were choosing to reject God in the knowledge that he'd give them. Where if we remember God's law, we ask God for knowledge and wisdom and truth and mercy and walk in that, then that will cause us not to stumble. In Hosea 14:1, if we do stumble, then we can just return to the Lord. Boom, repent, return. And you can look up Hosea 14:1, and we can walk in the righteous ways of the Lord. So you'll start to see a theme in these scriptures. Well, what will cause us to stumble then in some Old Testament passage? And you have this in front of you. Being against God. I mean, that's kind of an obvious one, right? You're going to be against God. You're going to stumble. And what does that look like? Well, stumbling just doesn't mean that our lives are affected. If we stumble, we cause others to stumble. I'm going to have Carly show this other clip. And I think it's the last one of the videos. So watch on the right side of the screen, the train. My favorite part is at the end. Train wreck, you get all that, Ray? I got it all. They're not running over to help anybody. They're just thinking, man, I'm going to put this on YouTube and get 3,000 hits. And anyway. So derailing just starts with one car, one wheel, right? A lot of times, like you saw in the first two videos, they were going a little faster, so there are a little more devastating results. Think about it, you're on fire, you're going pretty fast for Jesus, you're standing up here preaching, and then you get derailed. What does that do? What are the, you know, those TV preachers that everyone, you know, says, ah, and I fell, and, you know. They're going fast, they're, you know, in front of people. How many people... their excuse for not coming to Jesus is they see the faults and failures and stumblings and derailing of someone else. And that's their excuse for, well, those hypocrites, and I'm not coming to Jesus because I don't want to be like that. And well, the faster we're going, the farther we're moving, the more momentum, you get derailed in those instances, you're going to do a lot of damage because there's people watching you. And when you're praying for people for healing and all kind of this and doing that and saying you love Jesus and worshiping and preaching and doing all these kind of things, yeah, there's some level of responsibility there, because if you get off the track when you're going, you know, 120 miles per hour, you're going to take a lot of people with you and do a lot of damage. So what is that? That's to be sober-minded and say, dear God, help me by your grace. Because it's not in our own strength, right? As you've probably heard many times before. But it can start with a little thing, and then these cars are attached to each other, right? That's how it's designed to be. That's not a faulty engineer's plan. God did not design things in such a way that, you know, oh, well, why don't we all just be independent? Because then if one person falls, then, you know, do you really hear a tree falling in the wilderness if no one's there? You know, I don't know. One person falls all by themselves, who cares? It's just them and Jesus. But, man, we're all interconnected, and I can see your faults, and you can see mine. I can see your strengths, and you can see mine, and we're working together, and we're all in covenant relationship. We're like those cars attached together. We're all going forward. We're moving together. Well, when someone starts to tip off the edge, I'm the car in front or behind. I feel that. Okay, I don't want to go with you, but at the same time, I don't want you to fall either, so come on. Come on back here. Get back on track here, man. And then there are times when someone says, well, no, I don't want to get back on track, and they're falling, and you have to let go, and you unlatch. Sorry. I love you. I'm in covenant relationship, but I can't cause your irrepentant heart of not wanting to stay on track to pull me down completely as well, as hard as that sounds. But sometimes that's the love of God too, so that the whole train isn't crashed by one car deciding they want to do their own thing and hop off the rail. Well, for those that are not in that situation where, man, they get something that's starting to derail them, you know, it can take the whole train down. That's not a faulty design. It's because the flip side is that the whole train can help it stay on, if it's in a relationship, a covenant relationship standpoint of view. So when we're thinking about stumbling, I don't want us to be thinking about just ourselves. Oh, if I stumble, my destiny's ruined and me. Well, yeah, that's true, and God cares about that. But what about your mission that Pastor Bill was talking about? What about the people that you're designed to affect? What about the destinies of those that you're desired to minister to? What about the eternal thinking and those sort of things? Well, if I stayed on track, this would happen, and that would cause this, and boom, and blah, blah. You know, those are the things that we should be thinking about. So in the Old Testament, and again, we're not going to cover every single one of these, but let's just read through some of the titles. Being against God, evil thoughts and words. Okay, well, that seems pretty hardcore. Yeah, if I'm against God and I'm evil, I get it. But what about lacking wisdom? That's going to make you want to, you know, go to James 4. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally without finding fault, and it shall be given to him. Being wicked, walking in darkness. Words and actions are against the Lord. A popular subject. Intoxicating drink. You can read that scripture in Isaiah 28:7. Forgetting God, worshiping idols, pride. So there's a big one. Turning from righteousness and committing iniquity. That's not just turning from righteousness, it's turning from righteousness and committing iniquity. Trusting in riches, that can cause you to stumble. Idolatry, not just idolatry in worshiping idols, but idolatry in the heart. And that may look a little different in the United States than it did back in Israel's time. Putting anything above God. Lack of knowledge, lack of truth, lack of mercy, sin, forgetting God's laws, rejecting God, rejecting knowledge. We covered those. Iniquity, transgressing God's righteous ways. Departing from the way of God and corrupting the covenant of God. So let's flip over. This is a two-sided document. So the New Testament, not stumble. Well, you guys are familiar with the parable of the sower, right? And the different soils on which the seed was thrown. Well, receiving the word of God with a heart of good ground or good soil, a soil that's ready to receive that seed and let it grow. And in that same passage, having endurance. So this is something that Pastor Bill talked back several Sundays ago. Having endurance or enduring faith. Walking in the day, John 11:9, or the light, having to do with honesty and transparency. Many people think, man, I'm going to stumble if I tell so-and-so about what's going on in my heart. No, in fact, you're going to stumble if you don't tell so-and-so about what's going on in your heart. Because the risk it is to put out there of what's really going on, that's the risk you take for God coming in. If you can confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. So the more honest we are, it gives God more ability to come in and do what he wants. Hearing and receiving God's words, believing on Jesus, another fun topic, guarding our words / tongue. James 3. Continually growing in the faith, producing fruit in character. And I want someone to read this passage. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. Darlene. Just turn that iPhone page, or Android, or Samsung.
But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
So if you do these things, you will never stumble. So, I don't know about you, but if I read a verse like that that says, if you do these things, you will never stumble, I want to pay really good attention to what those things were before you will never stumble. And what that thing is this idea of you are constantly moving forward. You're adding to your faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control. You're constantly moving forward. The Christian life is, as Peter was talking about this morning, you know, 2 Corinthians 3:18, I look in a mirror, I behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and I'm being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, that as I behold the Lord, I'm actually made like him because I'm seeing it as in a mirror, where his reflection and my reflection start to become one from glory to glory. It's this idea of we're never moving backwards ever in the Christian faith. Shouldn't be, anyway. And staying stagnant is actually, in God's economy, moving backwards. He always wants us to be moving forward. And as we move forward, it actually protects us from being derailed and stumbling. The more stagnant we are, the more likely we're going to start to analyze the present surroundings in a attitude and heart that is not of the Lord. What happens when you start getting stagnant? Man, I don't like these pews. And that carpet they picked out, I would have never picked up. Oh, man. Start looking around you, finding fault with things. It's almost 1 o'clock and he's not even done with his message. Worship started at 10:35. I haven't played guitar in a long time on the worship team. They didn't ask me to speak this Sunday. Don't they know all the things I've been doing right? Where when you're moving forward, man. You don't have time to stare at everything around you and think about all the things where woe and ho and hey and why should it. You're moving forward. It actually protects your heart. I'm moving forward. No matter what, I'm going to move forward. And you're adding to yourself. You're not thinking of how am I going to see how I can add to you because you need it more than I do. I'm adding to myself. I need the faith. I need the virtue. I need the self-control. I need the knowledge. God, I need perseverance. I need godliness. I need brotherly love. And you're crying that out for yourself. And when you're crying out for it for yourself, in due time, God will use you to impart that in other people's lives. As you're crying out for it in yourself, you're not crying out for yourself so that you can speak or impart, or you're crying out for your own personal self and God will use it. Loving your brother causes you not to stumble. So some people, sometimes we get worried about, like, you know, oh man, I don't want to love that person or agree with them 100% because they've got some things that are a little weird and I don't like, and I'm going to stay away and our theology is not 100% correct and blah, 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 blah. Do you know that God never said being 100% theologically correct with your brother will keep you from stumbling? I didn't find that scripture. Is that important for agreement and, you know, ministry? Yeah, it's important. God likes when we agree. I'm not minimizing that. But he never said that that's what keeps you from stumbling. He did say loving your brother does, though. So does that then mean that I can love someone that I don't necessarily 100% theologically agree with? Absolutely. Does that mean in the long run Holy Spirit will work on us both to get us on the same page? Absolutely. But you can have both. You don't have to say, well, brother, I agree to disagree for the rest of our years together. You believe in healing, and I don't. So we can be friends, but don't you ever talk about healing with me again, and I won't ever talk about healing with you. I'm not talking about agreeing to disagree from a long-standing standpoint of view. If you agree to disagree from a short-term standpoint of view to stay in relationship and protect the covenant and all of that, but over a long period, God actually wants to work that out. Because when those things are left unresolved for a long period of time, natural discord happens. It just happens. God never designed those kind of things just to long-standing be there, because they're there. And I can try as hard as I can when I sit down next to my brother and be like, well, we disagree on X, Y, and Z, but I still love you. Well, that is the case. I really still do love you. But God wants to get at my heart and teach me something. And God wants to get at his heart and teach him something, because Holy Spirit, Father God, and Jesus the Son don't have disagreement. They're in perfect unity, so much so that the Bible says they're one, yet they're three. How in the world? So much so that in John 17, it says, I want you to have the same unity with me that we have in heaven, and I want you to have that same level of unity with your brother that me and the Father have, and it all be one big bam, you know, huge boom type of dynamite unity. Well, we're going to have some disagreement on that. That covenant relationship is going to override. But at the same time, if we just say, well, you know, for the next 50 years of my life, I'm just going to agree to disagree, and I'm not budging, they're not budging, I'm not budging, you're budging, I'm not budging, you're not budging, I'm not budging either. Fine. Fine. Because what happens then? Distance. But where when there's a heart of, let's ask God about this. What do you think God thinks about this? And it may not even be hammering out the scriptures together necessarily. You've heard Pastor Bill's testimony about, you know, preaching in tongue or praying in tongues or praying in the Spirit. And, you know, he would always want to be like, come on, MP, let's sit down to the Bible. I'll show you my scriptures. And then she would just like, God will show you. You know, you've heard that testimony before. But yet his heart was, he did want to learn. He did want more. He did want to know. So loving your brother is will keep you from not stumbling way more than proving your point. Abiding in the light. And then on the New Testament stumble side, not being rooted or not having endurance. So you receive something with gladness when it's being spoken to you. Yeah, way to go. Awesome word, Pastor Mary Pat. And then tomorrow that is challenged. Oh, I don't really feel like I'm excited about that word on Monday, but I was on Sunday. You don't let that word build a root, and you don't then flourish where you're at because your roots never go deep. You just receive the word with gladness, and then tomorrow it's challenged, and because it's a challenge, you throw it out. Whew, that's not going to work on this train track analogy, right? It's not going to work on this follow swing. You've got to have the history, the point of contact, and the follow through. You've got to have all three, so you've got to have endurance. Not understanding the will or the mind of God in not aligning yourself with his plan. Matthew 26:31. If you look up the scripture, this is around the time of the crucifixion. And Jesus said, many will be caused to stumble because of me. Well, why would they be caused to stumble because of Jesus? The rock of offense has become the chief cornerstone. There were things that Jesus was doing at that time that nobody knew. They didn't get it. So that's where their trust in him and their faith in him had to override their ability to understand what was going on. They had to be fueled by faith, not by understanding in that instance. But at the same time, God wants to open our eyes to understand his will, because when we do, then we can walk with it. We're not tripped up by something that he does that seems to be out in left field, when in God's economy, it's actually right in the center of the plan. Walking in the night or darkness, dishonesty or hiddenness. So like I said, that will cause you to stumble. That's enemy's territory, right? Darkness, hiddenness. You walk in darkness, that's the enemy's territory. He has right in his domain when you're walking in there. So if you say, I want to walk in hiddenness and darkness, then the enemy, you know, says, great, I get to have a heyday with you. And God's like, walk in the light as I am in the light. And then you're good to go. Not hearing or receiving God's words. Here's a big one. Operating in works or human effort. I'm going to read the scripture myself here real quick. Romans 9:32. Everyone doing all right? Getting some keys. You're going to take this home and devour it. So I'm starting in verse 30. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith, but Israel pursuing the law of righteousness has not attained to the law of righteousness? Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So I'm not going to go through the whole history, but you guys understand the history of Israel and where they came from. And they were operating out of a very strict law that all of a sudden Jesus said, you don't need to do any of those things. But as I come to live in your heart, I will actually write those laws on your heart. And then you will do it from the heart, and I'll rock your world and change everything about you. And I'll do it to you from the inside out, not from the outside. But you have to believe on me and receive me. And a lot of people got tripped up by that. They wanted to say, no, it's by my human effort, by my trying really hard. Well, we have the beauty in this covenant of looking back and seeing that that doesn't work so well. But, you know, we still do it, right? We try really hard to do all of these things and not stumble instead of operating in his grace and in his ability he set out for us. Rejecting God, I'm going to let you look up this scripture, judging one another. Judging one another will cause you to stumble. It's very plain. Romans 14:13. Maybe I will read it. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or to cause to fall in our brother's way. 1 Corinthians 8:9. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. So our choices can cause other people to stumble. So in our freedom that we have in Christ, we still are to be sensitive to others' weaknesses. If they have a problem with something, and that will cause them to stumble, even though you feel at freedom in Christ to do it, well, the Bible encourages us to be sensitive to them so that they're not caused to stumble, even though you may feel the freedom to do that. Now, I'm not talking holding back parts of the kingdom for those that are walking in unbelief. I'm not talking about that kind of thing where you say, well, you know, they really don't like to hear prophecy and, you know, they're really sensitive about that when that happens. Well, God will give you a sensitive heart towards that person who's struggling in that, but he also may cause you to challenge that sensitivity by walking in the kingdom. But at the same time, if there's something that you feel in your heart, you know, it's okay for me to do this, whatever that thing may be. But the other person has a strong conviction that that is not something, and you two are walking in relationship, the Lord may encourage you, well, you know, you want to be sensitive to that. Don't cause this thing that you feel the freedom to cause somebody else to stumble or your relationship to get disconnected. Careless or unguarded speech. This is a big one because we love to talk, as Andy pointed out and as you're seeing right now. We love to talk, but we really need to be sensitive with our words, myself very much, very so included. How do I interact with someone? The way in which I say something can make a big difference. The method of delivery may make a difference. Text, email, phone call, in person may make a difference. And if I'm just careless in my speech, that may offend someone, and that was never my heart. So we can ask Holy Spirit as we're saying things, doing things, how can I be sensitive to another person? How can my speech bless someone? And then the last several here, being obedient to God's word. False doctrine and poor teaching can cause people to stumble. Idolatry and sexual immorality. So I encourage you to take this and look up all of these scriptures, because they will, you'll have new things to add on to this. And you can put it in your Bible and be like, man, God has provided all that I need not to stumble. And he's even shown me ways in which I may stumble and take that before him. And then I'm going to end with this. So back in April when that picture came to mind, you know, I just kind of superficially saw, oh, wow, God, you've provided the way. I don't have to stumble. My friends don't have to stumble. We can go full force as an individuals and as ministries. We can go for it full force and not stumble. You've provided that way. Nothing has to trip us up. We don't have to go up and down and sideways and over and, oh, today I'm feeling great. The next day I'm not feeling great. And today I'm depressed and tomorrow I'm happy. We don't have to have any of that. But I was reading some various things, and then the Lord was just speaking to me. So, well then, Lord, what are some keys? And I looked up all these scriptures, obviously. What are some keys to what those pieces are? Like, is it just all of these things? Or, and one of the things that the Lord spoke to me on was, is that faithfulness was that cow catcher. Faithfulness was that pilot in front of the train. Faithfulness. So, full of faithness. The ness of being full of faith. So, I started thinking about this and I was like, that is so true. I started thinking, what in the parable of the talents did he tell the servants at the end? He said, well done, good and faithful servant. So if there's something that Jesus was going to say to me at the end of time that he's already shown me as one of the keys to making it to the end of time in a successful way, I have it there. It's not like I don't know what he's going to say. I already know. So he said two things. Well done, good and faithful servant. He didn't say well done, perfect and amazingly you never made a mistake servant. Well done, macho, proud, you could do everything right servant. Well done, skilled and supernaturally walking in the gifts of the Spirit servant. Although all those things are awesome, he said good and faithful. Well, the first one makes sense, right? He wasn't going to say, well done, bad and faithful servant. You were faithful in being bad all of the time. Awesome. So those of you that are very consistent in the negative side of things, you know, rest assured, it just takes a switch. You're faithful. You've got that one down. You just need to go from being bad and faithful to good and faithful. That's an easy switch. So that one's pretty self-explanatory, but the faithful part, full of faith, consistently, faithful. And I thought, well, again, how can I do that? I can't. I don't have the ability to do that. And then I started to think back to, well, yeah, that's what you're like. That's who you are. Revelations 19:11 says, and I saw the heavens opened and one was riding on the white horse. You guys remember that? And it says, he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. Okay, so I'm to be faithful, but my faithfulness is because of your faithfulness. My faithfulness is not because I have anything faithful in a faithful bone in my body or a loyal bone in my body. But the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me is faithful. Jesus Christ, who came to earth to die on the cross and fulfill his Father's mission amidst every obstacle known to man. He was tempted in every way. He is faithful. So now he's riding a white horse and he's called faithful and true. And yet, he's going to call me faithful. Wait a second. He's faithful and he's calling me faithful. That's kind of that mirror thing going on again. The more I look at him, the more I rely on him, the more I'm made like him. And he's riding a white horse, faithful and true, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on with me. Let's ride together. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And then I love this one, 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So I think we got it covered. When I'm faithful, I get rewarded. When I'm faithless, he remains faithful. That's a pretty good deal. And one thing that I just want to leave you with this morning is that being faithful in light of Jesus is easy. It's hard. But it's easy by faith. It's easy in the Spirit. It's really hard in real life because of who he is. Well, why? Well, you guys remember the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness? Comes from the verse in Lamentations. This I recall to my mind, Lamentations 3:21. Therefore I have hope. through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. We would be consumed without the Lord's mercy, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And a revelation the Lord gave me about the scripture one time is that his mercies are new every morning. That means in an instant, everything can change. Whether it be 10, 20 years of you praying for something, you standing for something, for you interceding for something, God is faithful. It can change in an instant. In an instant. You wake up tomorrow morning and the things that you've been contending for are changed in an instant. His mercies are new every single morning. Great is his faithfulness. That helps me stay on the track, right? Because I may be contending for something for 10 years and I don't see it, but I know he's faithful. And I know that any minute, any hour, any morning, it can change. Whether it be for someone else, whether it be for me, whether it be, it can change because his mercies are new every morning. And it's through his mercies that I'm not consumed. Great is his faithfulness. So make me like you, God. You're faithful. On my own, I'm faithless, but with you, I'm faithful. I want to be 5-10 years down the line, chugging faster. 20 years down the line, going harder, going faster, more fired up. I don't want anything in my life to have the opportunity to derail me, to trip me up. I definitely don't want to take anybody with me unless we're going for glory together. So, Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you that you've demonstrated time and time again your faithfulness. We thank you, God, that the track behind us is written with faithfulness, written with goodness, is written with the mercies of the Lord, is written with the Lord coming through, is written with, God, you have done great things. The present is us engaging with you in that, so that in the here and now we can make that point of contact to see your faithfulness be true another day, for your mercies to be new another day, for your faithfulness to be shown in our lives another day, and we can be sure of the trajectory in the future, that we're going to continue to move forward, that nothing is going to stop us, that we've got the gear on, the shield of faith in front of us, the cow catcher of faithfulness, the guard irons in front of our wheels, that nothing is going to trip us up, that the obstacles as they come, and they will come, and they do come, they're going to be knocked off the track, and we're going to continue to plow forward in faith, God. We thank you that you have already provided that in your will for our lives. You have already provided that in your kingdom. You have already provided that when we said yes to Jesus. And we say yes again, and we say yes every day. You have already provided that for us. Great is your faithfulness. And God, we desire to be faithful to you. What is our response to a faithful God, yet to be faithful to you? What is our response to a groom who has been perfectly faithful? He's not lifted his heart to another. His eyes and his gaze has been directed towards his bride from before time began, from before the foundations of the world. And in heaven, his eyes and his gaze is going to be directed towards his bride, the one that he loves. The most faithful groom who says his wedding covenant and keeps it. Make us the bride that responds to that level of faithfulness with faithfulness. Give us the grace, and you have given us the grace to enter into that covenant with you with full faithfulness, because we will reap the benefits. And God, where we don't see it, let us remember the promise that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. It may not be tomorrow morning that we see the effects the way we want to see them. It may not be a year from now, but we know you're faithful. And so we know we can be full of faith. God, I pray you'd bless each one of these people, Father. I thank you that you've put them all on the track. I thank you that you've put us on the track together. I thank you, God, that any stumbling block that has been thrown in front of them, it is your desire to knock those things out of the way. It is your desire to remove those hindrances. It is your desire that they would be chugging full force. God, if they need to reevaluate the past so that they're accurate in how they see the past with you, so that there's no deception involved. If they need to do that so that their present can be the most effective that it can be, so that their future is secure, God, put that on their hearts. If there's a stone under the wheel that's riding and grinding, and every day they're feeling that grinding, God, let them know that that stone can be removed and they can run free. That the friction and the rub of the everyday life with you doesn't have to be there. And that as obstacles come afresh, they can just knock them out of the way with joy, with laughter, with knowing that the only way I'm getting knocked out of this thing is if I jump off the track. The only way I can be taken out is if I give up, if I lose hope, if I lose faith. Because if I stay there, God, I know you're going to do what you're going to do, God. So, Father, I pray in this place for each and every person that you'd rise that hope level up. You'd rise that faith level up, God, and that you'd let them see that your plans to prosper them, not to harm them, give them a hope in the future, are secure. They're as secure as you've gotten them here, and they'll be as secure as you'll continue to take them forward, God. We bless your name, Lord. We worship you today, O faithful one, one that rides the white horse, faithful and true. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys for pressing in the word with me today.